This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
The founder of this company 10 years ago was trying to sell his house. He's, you know, he's kind of an important guy. And he said to his wife, if this is what it's like for us, how do people who have no clout ever get around this? So he started a company and it went into business, I think, 3 years ago. Their deal is their word is their bond. And they are people that listen to the show. They are just like you. Now, how can I say that? Because I'm the founder of the company. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show. Join us online on Facebook and on Twitter at Jackie Daily Show and on demand at iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Listen, some people have been pushing back on me and other messengers in this space, saying that we've got it all wrong on the costs of renewable energy. There are people running around making the argument that California is the poster child for what's gone right with the use of renewable energy, and that California has somehow proven through their aggressive implementation of what's basically a renewable portfolio standard. Okay, basically they're working renewables into their mix that's feeding the electric grid. They're saying, hey, their costs haven't really gone up much more than anyone else's. You're making all these predictions about how electric bills will skyrocket if we keep working more and more renewables into the mix. Okay, listen, there is a very good explanation for why California has been this lucky this far, but likely will not continue to see this luck. I hope that those of you who are skeptical are saying, okay, great, I'm on the edge of my seat. Can't wait to hear you explain this one away. Well, guess what? The facts will show you that what we've been saying is true. And I was very pleased to see that Chuck DeVore, who's down at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, has written a piece. This is called How Fracking Saved Renewable Energy in California. I'm going to give you the title again. How Fracking Saved Renewable Energy in California. Subtitle, if you want low energy costs, live in a red state. And for those of you who are politically disengaged, red means Republican governed, okay? So, Chuck DeVore, welcome back to the Jackie Daily Show.
Hey, it's great to be back on your show.
Good to have you. And I read this with great interest, Chuck. I marked up every single paragraph because it had golden nuggets inside it. And so you did a great job refuting this argument that somehow California is a shining example of what energy policy should look like. So let's just start with the first premise. Why can we know that California will not be as lucky going forward, keeping costs down if they continue to ratchet up the amount of renewables feeding the grid?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I love to use historic sayings from time to time. And one of the sayings I like to use in connection with this was Napoleon Bonaparte was talking about his generals, and he said, I'd rather have them be lucky than good. And so far, California has been lucky. And here's why. I was in the legislature in California 12 years ago when this push started, when the push to greatly increase renewables started. And at the time, they were saying, we're running out of natural gas. We have to build all these liquefied natural gas terminals on the West Coast, and they're dangerous, and we don't like them. They're icky. You know, we have to build these terminals to bring natural gas in from Australia and Indonesia and even places like Qatar, right? And to reduce our dependence on what will be this really costly natural gas, we need to have more renewables because we'll control our own fuel. And here's what happened. They put in laws to discourage the use of coal in California and to double and then increase by to a third. So they went from 10% to 20% to 33%, and now the goal is 50% renewables by 2030. Okay, that's wow. the new California goal. And when that happened, fracking happened. And the cost of natural gas, instead of going up, which is what they thought was going to happen, went down by 70%. And the cost of generating electricity by natural gas went down 40%. And so California just happened to get lucky. And as they got rid of the coal and replaced the coal with natural gas electricity and with wind and solar, the cost of natural gas plummeted. And so then California's electrical costs stayed about the same. They were 44% higher than the rest of the country about 10 years ago, and now they're 45% higher than the rest of the country.
So, Chuck, do I hear you saying that basically they added in this very expensive renewable energy? Oh, but lucky for them, the portion that was going to be fed by natural gas instead went down by over 40% in cost. Is that correct?
That's right. So, yeah. so they're getting rid of cheap coal, right? And they're replacing, and natural gas was more expensive, relatively speaking, right? And the cheap coal was replaced by natural gas, which in that period of time became 70% less costly and 40% less costly to generate electricity from it, right? So that cost, which for California, California gets the plurality of its electricity by burning natural gas. And so that cost plummeted. And if and here's the amazing thing. Had natural gas gone up by the price that they thought it was going to go up, mm-hmm. California's electricity costs would have soared. And there'd be a different tune being sung right now because the electricity costs in California would have been 26% higher today than they would have been if it weren't for the fact that natural gas went down so much.
And you equate that, it appears that would be about $150 per month that every California family would have been paying on top of what they're paying now, but they're not, all because of good old American fracking, saving them expense.
Exactly, and the irony here is, of course, the same lawmakers that have been promoting the wind and solar in California almost to a man and woman oppose fracking.
Right. Of course they do. Of course they do. They get the benefit. You know, the amazing thing, Chuck, is the market does work, actually. They get the benefit regardless of how bad their politics are and regardless of what they were ever campaigning for, and it was right on time. But you're saying we have reason to believe they're not going to be so lucky as they continue to ratchet up the percentage they want to be renewable. That's 50% by 2030. That's huge because, after all, right, Chuck, natural gas can't go down another 70%, right, from where it was. We're down now, to quite a low, number or a price. And it's probably going to stay that way for a while because natural gas is coming online all over the world and we're getting better and better at producing it. But we're not going to see that kind of benefit. So I think their luck's about to run out. I think the price tag might actually finally hit some Californians. What do you think?
I think it's going to hit, and it's going to hit hard. And what people don't realize when they say, well, you know, wind power is really cheap, right? When it's only a few pennies a kilowatt hour. And it's like, well, number one, yeah, it's really cheap when it's working, when the wind is actually blowing, and when you account for all the government subsidies and tax breaks and everything else. Yeah, I mean, it's cheap when it's blowing. But the average wind turbine on land only generates electricity to about 17 to 19% of its capacity versus a coal plant, for example, which usually operates around 90% of its capacity, and same with nuclear power, meaning that 90% of the time it's up and running at 100% of nameplate capacity. It's producing power reliably. You can't say that about wind turbines. And because of that, anytime you put up wind turbines, you have to twin them with natural gas peaker plants that just sit around and wait to come online the other 83% of the time that the wind isn't blowing. Right. And you have to pay for that, right?
Absolutely.
So you need double the infrastructure.
Right. We're talking with Chuck DeVore, and he is a VP of National Initiatives at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. We're talking about his piece, How Fracking Saved Renewable Energy in California. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to continue the discussion. You're listening to the Jackie Daly Show, and we're continuing our discussion with Chuck DeVore. He is the Vice President of National Initiatives at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, and we're talking about his piece, How Fracking Saved Renewable Energy in California. Okay, so Chuck, we talked about how California got lucky with its first phase, I suppose, of working in renewables since fracking lowered their natural gas prices, by 40%. There are some surprising tidbits in your article laying out what might be some not-so-pure motives on the part of electric utilities. And actually, that's a world that I don't know a whole lot about. I know a little bit about it. I will say that I sometimes think that the utilities act irrationally or do things that don't always make sense on their face. And they sure get blamed for things that actually aren't their fault sometimes. like skyrocketing energy prices over which they have very little control. But you're pointing out that in some places, in some states, there is a guaranteed profit, essentially, to utilities.
Because public utilities are often regulated very tightly by state regulators. Usually they're called public utilities commissions. And they're regulated because the theory goes that it's very important. Electricity and water, you know, natural gas, these are so critical for life that we have to have government regulation. And I think, gee, by that standard, maybe the government should be closely regulating our grocery stores, right? I mean, food is pretty important, but somehow wholesome food ends up getting from the farms to our plate without a lot of federal or state oversight. But that isn't the case in most states. Most states have a very tight regulatory a thumb on top of electricity producers. Now, in exchange for that regulatory oversight, these companies get a return. They get a guaranteed profit on the revenues that they generate by selling electricity. Now, here's the problem with that. If electricity is more expensive, they make more money. Because if you make, let's say, 1% on every dollar of electricity you sell, if you sell $2 of electricity, you get to make 2 cents, not 1 cent,
mm-hmm.
right? So your profit
right.
doubled. And so that's the challenge across the country in many, many states. And in California, we saw that with Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, one of the big three privately owned utilities in California. They had a bill that they supported that prohibited California from renewing any electric contracts where the electricity was generated by a coal-fired power plant. Now, 10 years ago, California got about 18% of its power from coal, almost all of which was imported from out of state. So the coal plants were in places like Utah and in Arizona, I think even out in Wyoming. And all these utilities often owned large shares of these plants. Now, PG&E, they didn't own much coal. And so they supported the bill by Senator Parada that got rid of coal. And what the bill did, you look in the fine print of the bill, and the bill said, oh, by the way, for any renewable energy project that you regulated utilities bring online, we are authorizing a doubling of your rate of return from 1% to 2%.
And who pays
for
that, Chuck?
So they got to make double the money on solar and wind.
Right. So because people don't understand this point, what you were saying in the beginning, normally if you produce a product in for profit, and whatever it is that goes into making that product goes up in price for you on the front end, you make less profit. It's more expensive for you now to make that product. In this case, it sounds like you're saying the law guarantees a rate of return to the investors in this utility, which means they don't mind if electricity prices skyrocket. They're going to make their money no matter what. And in fact, in this case, make more money, and that's going to be borne, it sounds to me, like whoever's paying that bill. Am I missing something?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, that's exactly correct. It's what we call crony corporatism.
Yes. They're preaching the green gospel, but in fact, by banning the coal plants, they're doubling their profits, even though the cost of their product just went up. So few people understand this. Very important point to drive home. You do this very well in this article. Now, you explain that Texas is a great example of a state that has gone in the other direction. What has been the experience in Texas?
So this is a fascinating thing about Texas. Texas, if you exclude Hawaii and Alaska, there are basically three electric grids in the continental United States. There's essentially the West, there's the East, and then there's Texas. Texas, other than a few areas like El Paso and a couple of the places up in the Panhandle, the majority of Texas, about 85% or so of Texas, is covered by its own electric grid. And because it's all within the state boundaries, Texas escapes federal regulation. So the federal agency that oversees the electric grid has no business butting into Texas and the roughly 85% of Texas that's on its own grid. So it's all run by the state. And about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, the legislature in Texas decided to fully deregulate the electricity market in Texas, with the exception that if you had a municipal utility, so a city or a county-owned utility or a co-op, which are owned by the people who live in the area, those were exempt from competition unless they wanted to be, unless they wanted to compete. So roughly 85% of Texans, within that 85% of Texas that is in its own grid, right, have electric competition. Now, the liberals said, beware, if you do this, those evil companies are going to charge a lot of money, and there's a lot of Texans who won't be able to afford their electricity. And for the first couple of years, when the regulation was being phased in, when the deregulation was being phased in, it looked like they were right. Texas's electricity was a little more expensive than the national average.
But why?
But eventually, these companies came in to sell electricity, and the price of electricity in Texas went down, and now it's below the national average because that's what competition does.
So I'm seeing here that we are now, because I'm a Texan myself, paying about 14% less for our electricity on average as compared to the rest of the country, and I don't even know what we're paying less than the average Californian, and especially after they implement this new plan to ratchet up renewables to 50%. We might be, Chuck, I don't know, 20, 30, more than 30% less than Californians at that point. Even yet another reason for them to move here with their bad politics and pollute the electorate, Chuck, so we got to watch it. We don't want to make this place too attractive.
Most of the Californians who move to Texas are like me. They're conservative refugees, looking at them as political refugees, seeking freedom and liberty in the Lone Star State.
Yes. No, I agree. Same with people who come from Ohio, like me. Usually looking for jobs and opportunity. So here is the conclusion, Chuck. You're saying to us that basically when you investigate, you know, where do I want to go to find low electricity rates? And if you're a business, manufacturer especially, you want to know these things. You're saying that basically there are two main factors, even more important than the fuel source. Tell us what those are.
Well, see, this is the thing that shocked me. As I looked at the 48 contiguous states, again, because Alaska and Hawaii just aren't part of the grid and they're isolated. And if you look at the 48 states, I thought they had a lot of cheap hydroelectric power like Washington State or a lot of costly renewable power like California, that would be the main determiner of electrical costs. Or maybe, you know, extreme temperatures, like if the state was really cold or something.
Right.
Or maybe heavily urbanized. And what I found was that the two things that pretty reliably predict how costly your electricity is politics.
Right.
and if a legislature is conservative, per the American Conservative Union, and if a state has freedom-oriented land use policy, which is often a proxy for the regulatory burden of a state, you know, how easy is it to build a house or to build a factory in a state? Those two things, your land use freedom and how conservative or liberal your legislature is, are the most reliable determiners of how costly your electricity is.
That is amazing. And for more on this, by the way, Chuck cites to the Mercatus Institute and also the American Conservative Union, both fantastic. So if you're saying I don't believe this, I cannot believe that the politics of the place is more important in determining the rates than the fuel source or the input to the grid, check this out. He's got it right here. Cites to these two, both trusted organizations in my book. And so
right, and I ran a multivariate regression analysis just using Excel, and so it's all math, right?
Right.
I mean, people can criticize me for my conclusions, but it's all based on objective data and run through math. If you don't like the math, you know, give me an alternative.
We're talking with Chuck DeVore. He is the Vice President of National Initiatives at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, and we have reviewed his piece, How Fracking Saved Renewable Energy in California. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
The founder of this company 10 years ago was trying to sell his house. He's, you know, he's kind of an important guy. And he said to his wife, if this is what it's like for us, how do people who have no clout ever get around this? So he started a company and it went into business, I think, 3 years ago. Their deal is, their word is their bond. And they are people that listen to the show. They are just like you. Now, how can I say that? because I'm the founder of the company. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.